certainly need the Lord's help this morning. Would like to begin reading in Psalms 127. Psalms 127 and verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Children are an heritage of the Lord. I remember years ago when I was going with Lanita, I would make trips about every weekend up to Missouri, from Oklahoma to Missouri. And I remember it was so hard to leave on Sunday evening to come back home. Lonely trips, coming back at night by myself. Then the day came that I got to take her home with me. And oh, the joy. I got to take my treasure home. And it meant so much. I felt like that I had received a real treasure. And as the years passed, daughters were born to us. And each time I just felt like I was getting richer. A treasure. Children are the heritage of the Lord. It is such a blessing. Recently I was speaking with someone and I explained that one thing that made it difficult in Honduras is that our daughters were getting married, moving back to the States. And that made it hard. And his comment to me was, "Well, we moved somewhere, we're trying to get away from our children, but they just keep following us." I have a hard time understanding that. Children are the heritage of the Lord. They are precious. They are treasures. I appreciate having children. But this thought that is out in the world, that children are not valuable, and some people actually choosing not to have children, it baffles me. Now, I know that some are not able, and my heart goes out to them. But for those who are able and make that choice, I can't understand it. They're the heritage of the Lord. They are treasures to be greatly valued. I want you to imagine if you went to apply for a job. The job is that of a parachute packer. And as you're interviewing in the job, the employer is telling you, "We take a lot of pride in the quality of our work here. People's lives depend on packing parachutes correctly. Do you think you can do the job?" And you tell them, "Well, I was a good student. In fact, my grade average was 95%. And I'm sure I can do at least that good here. 95% of the time, I believe I can get it right." Do you think you would get the job? The point is, people become accustomed to what I'm going to call an acceptable loss rate. The parachute packing company would not accept losses of 5% parachute failures. They just would not accept it. And I hope that in the raising of our children, we will not accept any loss rate at all. Now, I know losses are possible, but what are we willing to accept? Are we willing to settle for a loss rate? Are we willing to settle for making 95% of the parachutes correctly? Well, the idea is that we don't accept it to be that way. Years ago, I went to work for a large company, and they were training, and a part of their training intent was to shift the mindset of the employees from accepting manufactured goods to be good enough, the quality is satisfactory, to a mindset of we do not accept defects. And I got a hold of that. It meant something. Yes, sometimes there were defects, but there was a shift in mindset that said, we don't accept that. We don't say that's good enough. We are getting to a place where we get to the root of the problems, and we're not satisfied until the defects are gone. Well, children are treasures. They're the heritage of the Lord. And I would like for us to consider today, why is it sometimes that children are lost? There are some reasons that are not inside our control as parents. God made every one of us a free moral agent. And we can decide whether we're going to take the road to heaven or the road to hell. We cannot take that decision away from our children. And it is possible that they will choose the wrong way. There are some outside influences in this world that we cannot control. The society that we live in brings certain pressures on our children. So there are some things that are outside our control. But what I'd like to focus on this morning is the things that are in our control as parents. One thing that is in our control is the way that we raise our children. It makes a major impact on whether or not they're going to make it to heaven, whether or not we give them the correct discipline and the correct love, whether or not we are an example to our children makes a big difference in the road that they choose in life. The song says, "Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful." There is an example that we can live before our children that will make a major difference in whether or not they choose to live for the Lord. Another song says, "Are you adorning the doctrine and making attractive the way, honoring Christ in your actions and by the words that you say?" What loss rate are we willing to accept? How desperate are we that our children will make it to heaven? Lord, help us in our actions and in our words, that they'll make the way attractive, that our children will be interested in following in our footsteps. In order to have success in the raising of children, we must have love and discipline in the right balance. I'd like to give an example of parental love in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 31. David was receiving word about the death of a wayward son, a son that sought David's life, that sought to overthrow David as being king. And I want you to notice in this reading the love that David had for this wayward son. "And behold, Cushi came, and Cushi said, 'Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee.' And the king said unto Cushi, 'Is the young man Absalom safe?' And Cushi answered, 'The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is.' And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, 'O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. O Absalom, my son, my son.'" The love of a father, a wayward son, he could have said, "It served him right. I tried to teach him right, and he chose his own path, and he got what he deserved." But the love of the father said, "I wish I would have died in your stead." I believe that's the kind of love that we need to have for our children. Whether they choose the right path or not, we need to have a love that says, I would lay down my life for you. We need to treasure them, regardless of the path that they choose. When Solomon was posed with the question of the two women claiming to be the mother of the child, do you remember the reaction of the true mother? When Solomon said, bring the sword, we'll cut it in two and give one half to one and one to the other. The woman that was not the true mother was satisfied with that kind of solution. But the true mother's love said, I'll give her up. I'll give the child up rather than see the child die. The love of a parent, it is the kind of love that we must have to be successful in raising our children. Discipline. Proverbs 23 and verse 14. A very vital ingredient in children growing up in the way that is right. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. It's not very popular in the world today. I don't believe this is speaking of abusive treatment of children, but I do believe in spankings. And I believe that children associate some significant discomfort with a change in behavior. Dr. Spock introduced a different idea, and I don't know if it was 30 or 40 years ago in this world, and his theories became wildly popular, swept the nation, and in fact, probably a good portion of the world. His books, I believe, became bestsellers. His thought was, you eliminate a lot of that discipline out of their lives. And I want to ask you, what kind of result have we seen? How have children grown up differently today compared to the way they were 50 years ago? Oh, the difference. Dr. Spock's theories were a complete disaster. But I'm thankful that saints can see through that kind of thing and are willing to still apply Bible principles, which includes spanking children. It includes strict discipline. It includes deep love. One of the mistakes in discipline is empty threats. Parents will say, if you don't do that, I'm going to spank you. And they go ahead and they don't follow through. Or telling the child something and the child disobeys and the child ignores and they tell him again and again. A child should know that when they are told something, there needs to be obedience. There is not this ongoing tolerance for continual disobedience. That disobedience can be corrected very quickly and effectively. In small children, there is a nature that leads them to the path of sin, to rebellion. And that nature needs to be conquered early in their lives. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, speaking of Jesus, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Do you believe that children can learn obedience by a little suffering applied to the backside of their britches? Yes. I believe they can learn some obedience that way, and I believe they need it. I've seen children raised that way that turned out to be good adults. And I've seen those that were raised in a way where they were allowed to go loose and ignored. And oh, the result was not very good. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. There is a breaking of the spirit of rebellion, a breaking of that resistance, an humbling down of the child that we are responsible as parents to try to instill in our children. In Isaiah 62:66-2, "To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." Being of a poor and contrite spirit does not come naturally. It is not the nature of Adam. It is not human tendency, but it is something that we can help instill in our children by the right amount of discipline. To keep our children, to preserve our treasures, we need to build the right foundation in raising them. In the family, it is so critical that there be a family altar. There be a place of worship, a place where we pray together, where the Word of God is shared, where there is a love flowing family member to family member, where the children actually hear Dad speaking to God and Mom speaking to God and sharing the burdens of their hearts. The family altar is a critical foundation to the raising of children. The Scripture says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." When he's old, he'll remember those times of the family altar. He'll remember the scriptures that he memorized before going to Sunday school. It is so important that we build that foundation in our children. While they're young, their memories are good. Oh, what a good time to memorize the scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." When we have an intense love for God in our hearts, our children will be able to see that. And it will help them develop a love for God too. "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest down in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest up, and when liest down, and when thou risest up." In other words, the Word of God should permeate your life. It should be a part of your home, and your children should understand that. They should grow up around the Word of God, godly principles being taught and lived before them. Diligently teaching our children. Teaching our daughters to be followers of the Bible teaching, which is that they be keepers at home. Not very popular these days. Career women. If a woman does not have in her future to be married, I have no problem pursuing a career. She has to do something. But when she is married, to send the children to daycare, simply to pursue a career, to make sure the income level is good and high for the home, oh, what a price to pay. Being a keeper at home is so much more valuable. Children are treasures. They are so much more valuable than extra income. I remember one of the saints, and she worked for years and years. And when somebody who was in accounting or something explained to her the amount of money that she actually netted from having gone to work because of the higher tax rate or whatever it was, she realized how little she actually gained for the price that she paid. Oh, the regret that she felt. And I will tell you, her two sons are not saved today. Well, I know there are special circumstances, temporary situations. I'm not trying to condemn folks, but I do want to say there is a Bible plan for how things are to be done, and to be a keeper at home is a beautiful plan. It is a high profession. And all this emphasis on education, all this emphasis on careers and things like that, nothing wrong with making a living in life. I'm glad for the living I was able to make and that kind of thing. Nothing wrong with education. But if there is too much emphasis there, and to the point we're willing to abandon children, Lord have mercy. We will lose our treasures if we're not very careful. Teaching our daughters modesty. Not just modesty in dress, which is vital, but modesty of heart. You know, if it just is on the outside, eventually what's on the inside is going to come out anyway. So teaching them modesty of heart. To be a virtuous woman, as described in Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 is such a beautiful picture of a woman. I wish there were more women like that in our world today. But that's not what is glamorized by the world. In fact, they glamorize women who aren't virtuous at all. I am so thankful that the saints, women, are virtuous women. Our daughters need to be taught that. It is not something that just comes naturally, but virtue needs to be taught from mother to daughter. Sons need to be taught how to be godly men. Do we have an abundance of godly men in the world today? Or do we have a shortage? I would like to see a lot more godly men. Sometimes I'm with the men of the world, and maybe traveling or whatever, and maybe a large group, and my heart sinks when I hear the conversation. And I see the things that are in their hearts, and I think, I am the only one that cares. It is so sad. We have a desperate shortage for godly men. Sons don't come by that naturally. They need to be taught by fathers how to be a man that's actually strong enough to say no. A man that is godly enough to have some virtue about him, that doesn't join in with all the things other boys and men are joining in with. How to be strong soldiers for the Lord. What career choices are appropriate? I believe that's good instruction. Son, I know it looks glamorous, it looks fun and exciting, but don't join the military. Saints don't kill people. Son, it's not all exciting that it looks like anyway. Those men come back scarred and emotionally hurt. Son, when you leave home, I know you're going to make your own choices. But I want to warn you, stay away from the gambling halls. Don't ever lower yourself. Even if you're away from the Lord, don't ever lower yourself to the point that you would walk into one of these nightclubs, one of these adult bookstores, or whatever it may be. Maintain at least some level in your life that you would not do that. We need to train our sons how to grow up to be godly men. Well, we also need to keep the right environment in our homes. We face all kinds of things out in the world. You go to eat in a restaurant and there's music just pounding at you with themes that are ungodly. You go out shopping and you're presented with images of things that are ungodly. All those things are out in the world. Let me tell you something. When you come home, you ought to come home to a refuge. It ought to be a place of safety. A place where you don't have to worry about all that distraction and filth. But a place that is clean and pure. Sometimes some house cleaning is needed. Need to watch the kind of books that end up in the home. The kind of radio programs or whatever it may be. And the types of books aren't necessarily just ungodly sensual romance books, but it could be medical books that are extremely explicit. We need to be careful about the kinds of things that we allow in our homes and we present, perhaps unknowingly, to our children. Too many children grow up in abusive homes today. They are abused physically, they are abused emotionally, and they are abused by their entertainment. Violent, vile, ungodly, blasphemous television. Children are being abused in their minds and in their spirits. Let's watch the kind of home that we offer for our children. The purity of the home. Too many children are entertained too much growing up. I'm thinking of movies. Oh, but this one is designed for children. It's clean, and it keeps them occupied. I want to tell you that movies create a lust for entertainment that cannot be satisfied. It goes beyond the cartoons. It goes beyond, what is it, Little House on the Prairie. It is an appetite that grows and grows, and it needs to be a little bit more exciting, a little bit more violent, a little bit more sensual, and then they're still not satisfied. It is a lust. We should not, in our homes, create that lust in our children. Simply as a way to pass the time away and dispose of the responsibility of entertaining them or whatever it may be. Children are treasures. They're the heritage of the Lord. Libraries are no longer child safe. They have books such as Heather Has Two Mommies. Do you have an idea what that might be about? It's to get children to accept homosexual homes. So they target children. They are also full of filthiness. Libraries are not child safe. We need to watch what our children are seeing in the libraries. Not a good place to turn them loose and definitely let them search through whatever they may want to find. I believe as parents that we need to be nosy. Son, where have you been? You were with who? Well, what kind of boy is he? You know, that brings some accountability. Parents, when you do this with your children, they start to realize ahead of time, Mom might be asking me some questions after a while. And it helps limit the types of things that they get exposed to. What is that I found in your closet? I believe parents are in their full right to do a little snooping on their children. And what about this internet history that I found on your computer? This website you went to, I want to talk to you about that. I believe that's the right thing to do. If you don't know how to do that, you don't know how to monitor internet usage, maybe it's a good idea to get rid of it. It is too dangerous. If you have children that are unsaved, and the temptation is greater for boys, but if you have that kind of situation, you better monitor it or you better do something. We treasure our children, don't we? Parents need to love their children enough to check into what they're doing. We need some rules in our home, and we need a rule maker. Too many times it's the child deciding what happens around the house. But we need men that are man enough to make some rules, and women that are virtuous enough to make some rules. This is the rule in our home. As long as you live in our home, you will comply with the rules. We must love them, must be gentle, but they must know that there are rules that they cannot cross. 1 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 1, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be, and a list of qualifications is given. Notice verse 4, one that ruleth well his house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? These instructions are good for more than just bishops. All of us, fathers, mothers, we should know how to rule our own house. We should be the ones that set the rules and not let the children have the run of the house. In Genesis chapter 18, in verse 17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him. This is the Lord speaking. The Lord expressing some confidence in Abraham. I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. What an insight into Abraham. What an insight into God's confidence in Abraham. And what a picture of a godly home. I know him. I have confidence in him that he will rule his own home. We need homes to be ruled, to save these treasures, our children. There are some myths in child raising I would like to mention today. One is that love is somehow in conflict with discipline. They are not. Love without discipline is not true love. Love and discipline work together in beautiful harmony. They are like a balance to each other. And with one and not the other, children grow up warped. They have hurts, emotional needs. They have discipline problems. They have problems submitting to authority, the law of the land. They have submission problems to the authority of God. Love and discipline go together. The magical age myth. Pick a number, 18, 21, some arbitrary number. And once he has reached that age, he's a man, and I can no longer say. Let me say this. Your obligation to your children ends when your life ends. And while they are in your home, there are rules of the home that they must obey even if they're 43 years old. There are certain rules of the home. Or else they are defiling your home. Corrupting it. We cannot wash our hands of obligation of our children. In Job chapter 1, here is another beautiful picture of a man that loved his children with the love of a father. Job 1 and 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. One that feared God and eschewed evil. Verse 4, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and curse gods in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Thus did Job even when his sons and daughters were grown. His obligation to them did not stop simply because they turned 18 or 21. There is another myth in the raising of children, and that is expressed like this. All we can do is pray. If a tornado went through your town and the power line went down, live power out on the sidewalk, Would you say, all I can do is pray? How about calling the power company? Or calling 911 and telling them there's a power line down? How about getting out on the street and noticing pedestrians coming, say, don't come here, there's a power line down? Or would we say, all I can do is pray? I believe in prayer. I really do. But our obligation as parents does not stop with prayer, even if our children are grown. While our children are still in the house, we must take control. We must set some rules. We must require some accountability. Ask questions. Children are treasures. They're the heritage of the Lord. Sometimes we lose treasures in life. Sometimes our children may go astray. What do? Do we give up hope? No, we don't. Daily prayer. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much, and I believe it. Our children may turn to the Lord after we're gone, and we never see that in this life. Effectual, fervent prayer. Fasting. I knew a man that I respected very highly. He had a wayward daughter. He loved her so much that he fasted 12 days. She's saved today. The love of a father, it's more than just all we can do is pray. We can fast. We can do whatever it takes. Expressions of love. As a child grows older and perhaps chooses the downward way, they harden their heart. And the love of mother, the love of father, does not penetrate as easily as it did. But expressions of love are still valuable. I remember the day you were born, how excited we were. Things that remind them of the connection that we have to you. You're our child. We're responsible for you being here. I want you to know that no matter what happens to you in life, no matter what choices you make, I'll be there for you. These expressions of love can help restore those treasures that are lost. The song says, when the heart is sad and lonely, and the eyes with tears overflow, gentle words and deeds of kindness fall like sunbeams on the snow. What can we do if our treasure is lost? How about doing something drastic? Perhaps you're in a bad environment, drugs in the neighborhood. Perhaps it's the girl next door that is too much for your son. How about putting the house up for sale and moving? That's a tough one, isn't it? Especially when you're settled down. What are we willing to do to save our treasures? What do we treasure most in life? Perhaps there's another congregation somewhere that the Lord could lead you to where there are saved young people that would be an encouragement. Would it be all right to quit the job? To move? If the Lord had that in mind, what are we willing to do? Let's not just say, all I can do is pray. There may be something drastic that we can do. Let's get out of our comfort zone and do whatever it takes to save these precious treasures. We can pray to the Lord like this. Lord, I will do anything. Whatever it takes, just show me what it is. I will lay down my life, whatever it takes, and mean it, and the Lord can bring them back. It hurts parents when their children are gone, when their children are wayward. It touches the very depths of our hearts. But there is hope. There is a way that they can come back. May they find the road home. And may our prayers, our fasting, our expressions of love follow them. They will stay in their mind. May God bless each one. And it is my desire that these treasures, our children, make it to heaven, and that each one of us here does as well. Amen.